We are joined by attorney, lawyer, barrister extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien with somewhat breaking news. Last week, Hasbro announced they were going to drop the Mr. in Mr. Potato Head. Got a lot of people in an uproar. Now the announcement comes, Mr. Potato Head will stay Mr. Potato Head. And Jeff, I want to ask you, was this just a marketing ploy, or are they really trying to cancel Mr. Potato Head? Now people are talking about Mr. Potato Head, and nobody's talked about him really since Toy Story came out.
Right. Now, let's not forget Mrs. Potato Head, because it's Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head are staying. I'm not really sure where these big companies, what their mentality is in doing this stuff. I know that they like to try to curry favor with the woke crowd, but the woke crowd, I think, is figuring it out, too, and saying changing the names of toys to being non-binary doesn't make up for your deplorable labor practices overseas.
Good point.
And maybe that's part of what this is all about, trying to shift the attention someplace else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good. Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head will stay. So that's encouraging.
Yeah, I'm very thrilled. Now, I was remiss in not saying that this is a 3 and out, and that was item one. Item number two is Trump at CPAC, and he packed him in, and they were loving him.
Yeah, he showed up about an hour late. He was the only president to give a long address in February, because Joe Biden did not give a State of the Union address.
And he has not had a news conference.
No, he's not anywhere where there's not a teleprompter or Joe Biden helping him. I listened to Trump's speech. The way I took it is it was stating he made it clear he's not forming a separate party. He's forming a super PAC and is going to be active recruiting candidates and campaigning for candidates in the midterm elections. It was the usual, Trump bluster, brought up about the election stuff, but then pivoted. I was kind of like, where is he going with this? And then he pivoted into an agenda for election reforms that he says Republicans should be pushing. And it talks about that, voting being on one day, only getting an absentee ballot if you're sick or overseas or in the military, photo ID, all those things. And so it laid out kind of an agenda of this is what the Republican Party stands for. He kind of mused a few times about, who might be, whether or not he's running again in 2024. But I don't believe he's going to run again, Bob. He's going to be 78 years old. His net worth took a massive hit doing this for 4 years. I think that what his goal is to get the Republican Party to stand for something and to fight back. He points out that he named names in the Republican side and said these Republicans are more like they criticize me more than they criticize the Democrats. And talking about how the Democrats always seem to fall in line, the Republicans seem to always fight with each other.
Well, it's hard to argue with that, even though the Democratic Party is more, opposite ends of what they believe. They at least put up they vote as a pack, which they did on this $1.9 trillion. It's not a COVID package. Only 9% of the money goes to COVID.
The boondoggle. A little COVID relief shoved in there. Yeah.
So, all right. Item three, Andrew Cuomo. He's in more trouble because another woman claims that he sexually harassed her, not assaulted her. She claims there was never any touching, but it was harassment. And I don't understand how this guy is being allowed to skate by the same people who vilified Justice Kavanaugh.
Yeah, well, he won't be. They're going to use the sexual harassment allegations as the way to depose him versus blaming his response to COVID, because they put him up on a pedestal so much for his response to COVID, which, of course, included putting sick people, COVID patients in nursing homes, and then covering up the actual death count from the nursing homes. So this is their way of getting rid of Andrew Cuomo without having to, eat crow for having lauded his COVid response.
I think he'll get
bounced.
I'm really confused. Well, not confused. It's, I guess, typical of both parties in a sense. But this was no secret that he was putting. I don't really. You know what? Yes, it's a big deal, but he should be judged on the fact that he put sick people with COVID into nursing homes and elderly care facilities with our most vulnerable population elderly people as the occupants, and it's the same thing that was done in Michigan, in New Jersey, in other Democratic-run states, by Democratic governor-run states, and right here in Minnesota. Walz did it too, and I don't think he should get a free pass on it. He should be brought up on criminal charges.
And like I said before, again, shame on the Senate Republicans here in Minnesota for not holding a hearing on the Health Commissioner Jan Malcolm and questioning this very policy and those actions, and taking actions to start. I mean, they may not be able to remove the governor, but the Senate could take a vote and remove the commissioner of the Department of Health tomorrow.
You know what? The buck stops with him, though. So if it was in his administration, he knew about it, because there were even stories about it. This was not a secret, but it was poo-pooed and the media ignored it. And that is, I think, what we've learned over the last 4-plus years is just how powerful the media is, because they take a stance and they don't let go. They're like a pit bull on an ankle. They're going to make sure that no one hears anything else. It's very reminiscent of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, the Jimmy Stewart or the James Stewart movie, where basically back in his state, which is never identified, we're led to believe it's Montana or Wyoming, they crush any amount or any attempt to get news out about what's happening and the scandal that's happening in Washington. And it's nothing's really changed over the years. And it's very, very disheartening. Very quickly, because that's our three and out, but I want to mention Irv Cross's passing. And he was a absolute pioneer for minorities on network television doing football games. He was the first. With Brett Musburger, he did it with Musburger, Phyllis George, and I think Jimmy the Greek was always coming on giving his picks until he got knocked out for some racist comments. So, but Irv was always you knew him, right?
I did not know him. I mean, I know a lot of people who knew him, because, of course, you know, there's a lot of talk today about, you know, his work with NFL Today on CBS. But, of course, and you know, Bob, you know, Irv ended up being a Minnesotan. He was the athletic director at McAllister, and he remained here after he retired from that job. And he's been chair of the Twins Community Fund, and you know, he's been active in the local community here. So it's, you know, a lot of folks are eulogizing him today for his, you know, kind of the pioneering work he did on TV and, of course, his NFL career. But here in Minnesota, you know, he was a big contributing member of the community.
Well, and I've interviewed him, but I didn't really know him on a personal level other than the interviews. And by the way, flashing across the screen on a TV next to me, essentially, Cuomo saying, well, I joke a lot, and people don't always get the joke, so maybe I need to be a little more, you know, careful with that. That's his excuse. He joked about sexual harassment and sexual assault. Oh, my God. All right, anyway, Jeff O'Brien, thank you so much. Chestnut Cambrone, have a great week, and we'll take a quick break, and the BS Show will be right back.